listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
It's the importance of the cross. You know, a lot of people count their salvation based on works that they have done. Many claim, well, I'm saved because I got baptized in Jesus' name. Or I'm saved because I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues. Or I'm saved because I worship on a certain day that other people don't worship on. I'm saved because whatever the case may be, if it's anything other than the cross of Christ, then your salvation is vain. It has no depth to it. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17, Paul confronted that issue. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, many people gloried in their acts. You know, you get baptized because you are saved. You're not being baptized in order to be saved. If at all it was the water that saved you, then the blood would have no effect. But when we preach the cross, we preach Christ crucified, blood shed for the remission of our sins, died on the cross, became sin for us who knew no sin, and rose for our justification on the third day according to the scripture. When we preach the cross, we preach the message of salvation, but we talk about the price of our salvation, how Jesus bled and died in order for us to be saved. How when he was falsely accused, he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. A man who did good, healed the sick, raised the dead, and showed us the way unto the kingdom of God. But yet the religious fraction of that day could not stand his message of forgiveness and repentance and deliverance. They wanted to hold people hostage under the law of Moses. But Jesus came to set them free. They said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we're justified not by the works that we've done, not by the keeping of the law, but by the receiving of grace. Matter of fact, when we receive the gift of grace, which is based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then we're accepted by the Father. But when we try to come up any other way and justify ourselves, self-justification, maybe it's because we never miss a Sunday at church, maybe because we pay our tithes and we help little old ladies across the street, and we pray three times a day, and we fast five times a week, and we do all of these things, that does not justify us in the eyes of God. Doesn't make us better because we're able to do more than somebody else. Reminds me of the two that went to the temple and prayed. One was a Pharisee, and the other one was a publican. He was a tax collector. And they both were in the temple. What is interesting about the Pharisee is that he was arrogant. You know, they say the Pharisees were not fair, you see. They always looked down on other people and they acknowledged or they exalted their self-righteousness. And so the Bible says that they were in the temple and the Pharisee began to pray with himself. Oh, God, I'm glad I'm not like this other man who, you know, I'm glad I'm not like this sinner over here. You know, I tithe, you know, I pay alms, you know, I help, I do all the good things that I'm supposed to do. I keep the commandments. And the Bible said that he prayed unto himself and not unto God. Why? Because he was praising his own works. How many times did we do that? Child, I don't never miss a Sunday at church. And I'm there on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday, God. Listen, I don't miss the house of God. Something wrong if you ain't there three times a week, if you ain't there in the prayer meeting. Something wrong with you. I mean, listen, we should all pray. We should all go to church. But if you think that's going to justify you in the eyes of God, then you're sadly mistaken. The works that we do, the works of righteousness, we do to one another for the cause of Christ. Jesus said, I was sick and you ministered to me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. Cast out and you took me in. He said, Lord, when we saw you in any of these conditions, He says, much as you had ministered or done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. In verse 18, Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you know you can't get to heaven any other way? It's not by your good works. It's not even just because God loved you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And thank God for John 3:16 and 17. But it's not just about God's love toward us, which is a big part, but it's about the price that was paid to redeem you. And we ignore the cross a lot of times. We don't tell anybody about the suffering, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, we talk about the miracles. We talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. We talk about all these things that we want to have and be. But until we can understand the price that was paid, you'll never understand how valuable you are in the eyes of God. That God was willing to send heaven's best to suffer in your behalf in order for you to be saved. You know, Isaiah asked a question. He said, who has believed our report? Do you have a report? Have you been telling somebody else about Jesus? He said, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of man, man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief, and he has carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But the reality is this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now we are all like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him, talking about Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, he could have ended this thing just with one word. He could have stopped it any time he got ready. You remember when he was betrayed by Judas? And just before the soldiers met him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had went over to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and he prayed down and he kneeled, and he said, Father, if it be possible, allow this cup to pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, yet not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible says that Jesus prayed so earnestly that his sweat broke blood vessels. He broke blood vessels in his intensity, and his sweat came out as great drops of blood. His sweat was red like blood because he had broken the pores underneath his skin with the intensity that he prayed for. And see, yes, he had to suffer a lot of things. Yes, he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. He is beaten with the cat of nine tails. And see, for the Rome, it was 39 stripes, 40 minus one. But Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. It wasn't just 39 stripes. The Bible says in Psalms that when he hung on the cross, that he could tell all his bones. That means he could see all of his bones through his flesh. If they could have beat Jesus to death, they would have. But he said, no man takes my life. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And even when they put a bag over his head and centurion soldiers would punch him and say, prophesy, tell me who it was that hit you. And then they took his beard and they ripped it out by the root. Then they placed a crown of thorns upon his head and pressed it down into his skull, thorns about 3 inches long. Then they stripped him naked and mocked him and put a purple robe and a stick in his hand and said, Hail, King of the Jews. But the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sin, our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was placed on him. And with the stripes, we are healed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't have to go through this. He could have changed his mind. But as great as this horror was, after they beat him with the cat of nine tails, after his flesh hung off his body like sauerkraut, they laid the old rugged cross upon his shoulders. That cross had to weigh at least anywhere from 300 to 400 pounds, if you know how big and how heavy logs are. And he had to drag that cross on his shoulder up Golgotha's hill. But there was a man out of Cyrenian named Simeon, and they laid the cross on him, and he carried the cross for Christ. But when they got to the hill, they laid Jesus on that cross. And they drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. And when they lifted the cross to erect it, it had to go down into a hole that was about 4 feet deep. And as it slid down into the hole, it made that thud when it hit the bottom. Boom! And all of his weight was only supported by the nails in his hands and in his feet. The spikes that held him to the cross. And all of that weight slammed down. The agony of that cross was on him. He was surrounded by two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. The one on the left had the nerve to revile him. Say, if you be the Son of God, come down and save us and yourself as well. But the other one said, man, are you crazy? We up here because we've done wrong, but this man has done no wrong. And he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In all of his agony, Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And this wasn't the worst of the matter. Because the Bible says that there was darkness over the land from the sixth until the ninth hour. And the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And for the first time in the annals of all eternity, Jesus was separated from the Father. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because he became the very embodiment of sin, sickness, and disease. And God cannot be attached to that. And so he had to bear our sins alone. He had to go to the cross on our behalf. Like a sheep which is before the shearer is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth in agony to complain. He knew. We have to understand the price that was paid so we can value our salvation and be not so frivolously tempted to go out and to run after sin when we know the price that was paid. If you understand the value that you have, how much you must be worth in the eyes of God, that God was willing to send heaven's best to die on the cross for you. How much are you? Now, just think about it. If you were willing to sacrifice everything that you own, house, car, jewelry, everything that you have, because you saw something that you wanted, that you knew was so valuable, that you was willing to risk everything that you had in order to possess it, then how valuable must be that thing that you're trying to possess? The Bible said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men the thing that God has prepared for those who love him. And the Bible says, it does not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. But we shall see him as he is. We don't know how valuable we are for God, because we haven't seen it within ourselves, because we're cloaked in the sinful flesh. We're tempted on every side by every satanic and demonic force. We're driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, once we truly receive him and allow him to sit upon the throne of our heart, then the value of our salvation goes up to us. Now we have a standard that we live by. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We learn to love one another. We learn to forgive one another. We learn to bless them that curse us, to pray for them that despitefully use us. We learn not to take vengeance, because he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so we got to be willing to forgive anybody of everything that they ever done, because Jesus has forgiven us of everything that we have. And if we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us of ours. Because Jesus bore so much to set us free. He paid the price that we could not pay. He took it upon himself. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus said, I'll go. Bulls and sacrifice and offerings you have not. You don't have delight in, but a body you prepared for him. And so when we understand that not only the physical suffering that he suffered, it wasn't only the rejection of the very people that he came to save. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And while we were yet in sin, Jesus died for us. But the Bible said that he had to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had to humble himself because the Bible says Jesus, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to remember the cross. He said, if any man will follow me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you truly want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, if you truly want to be a witness, you need to take a look at the suffering of the cross. There's not a lot of preaching going on about that anymore. It's all about getting and having and becoming supernaturally powerful. And, you know, it's about all these things which are good, but never forget the price that was paid. And look at it. And knowing that that should have been you, that cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The very punishment that we deserve was placed on him so he could redeem us. So he could buy us back. I know the devil thought he had won a tremendous victory today. The devil celebrated on that Friday that they call Good Friday that we're about to celebrate. He said, I finally got the one who was prophesied back in Genesis that he was going to destroy me, but I've gotten him now. You said that the seed would bruise my head. This is a certain Satan talking. You said that a seed would bruise my head and I would bruise his heel, but I got him. I killed him. See, when you're a hammer, you think everything is a nail. So you think that death is the end of things. No, no, no. The Bible said that Jesus descended into hell. He kicked down the gates of hell. He spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated them and made a show of them openly. Oh, listen, they were celebrating, they was down there drinking, and they was partying, and all of a sudden there was a mighty earthquake. All of a sudden they heard a thunderous roar, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came into the place, similar like he did when he went into the temple and found them selling doves, and he made a whip, and he turned over the tables, and he drove them out. Jesus showed himself in his glory down there. He defeated principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, and he triumphed in them. He took the keys to hell and death. And when he rose on the third day, he said, now all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. He rose in victory. He rose in glory. He rose in power. And then he looked at you and I. He said, now you go into all the world. And you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that commandment to go and to teach all nations is what we're talking about today. Study the cross of Christ. Understand this crucifixion and the suffering that he went through to purchase our salvation. Always get the testimony into the message of salvation that you're witnessing to somebody. Yes, we always want to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Yes, we want to tell them about making the confession of faith in God. But they need to know what they're confessing to. They need to know the price that was paid to redeem them, to buy them back. Because if you don't know the value of a thing, you'll misuse it. It'll begin to depreciate in your eyes. If you don't know the value of your salvation, then you'll still continue to chase after the beggarly elements of the world. You'll continue to think that I can get away and just sin and God don't care. Listen, he cares enough. He cares so much. He's angry at sin every moment. But he loves you with such a great love that he hasn't judged you as your sin deserves. But the Bible said we shall not continue in sin that grace may abound. Once we're born again, you and I, we become partakers of his divine nature. You know, Paul over in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, Paul talked about how he received the message. He said, Paul's an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me here unto the church of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always begins his message with grace and peace. It's never peace and grace. There's always grace and peace. Because you will never know the peace of God till you first experience the grace of God and have your sins forgiven. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And once you have experienced the grace of God, now you can have peace with God. Peace that was made at the cross. This is why the message of the cross is so important. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and the Father, to whom be glory and honor. Amen. Then Paul questioned them, because most people, when they got saved, they heard the message of salvation, and they gave their life to Christ. And then they got involved in some religious organization. And said, well, in order to maintain your salvation, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, you need to be here on this night and on this night in order to maintain your salvation. And, you know, you look unto works of the flesh now. Paul said, I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace, somebody say the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Did you know that the grace message is the gospel message? He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's no other gospel that can be preached. No other gospel. The cross is the message of grace, his divine love for us, that he sent his only son, only begotten son, to die on the cross for our sins. So we don't have to die and go to hell, but we can go to heaven. He said, which is not another, but there be something that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which you have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, this is very interesting, because Paul says this redundantly. And as we said before, we say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And so now, if there's someone who's trying to mix law and grace together and tell you in order for you to be saved, you need to do this or do that, even if they're telling you you got to have baptism in order to be saved. Understand this. You're saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you qualify for baptism. But baptism is an outward sign of an inward belief. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why when they take you under the water, they don't leave you there, but they bring you back up. And so we get baptized after we believe. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 28, say, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So if the qualification is on you believing, baptism comes after faith. Baptism does not secure your faith. Baptism is not the source of your salvation. If it was, then Jesus would not went to the cross and died. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, should you be baptized? Definitely. Why? Because you're identifying with Christ. It's one of the two ordinances that he tells us that we should keep. Other than it's the Lord's Supper. That's his body that is broken for us and the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. He says, often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so those are ordinances that we do in remembrance of what took place at the cross. Without the teaching and the message of the cross, you don't understand the value or the price that was paid for your salvation. And because you don't really understand that, a lot of times you sell yourself short or cheap for temporary pleasure. Now, you won't lose your salvation, but you could leave this earth early because of your behavior. But I pray that the Spirit of God will cause you to repent of any sin that you may be in right now. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't understand the price that was paid, then I need you to right now to bow your heads and say, Father, I didn't realize the price that was paid for my salvation. I just thought all I had to do was just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know what that meant by believing in the Lord. But now I do. Now I have a clear picture of how he suffered and died on my behalf. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I repent. I change direction in my behavior. Jesus, I ask that you would come and sit upon the throne of my heart, that you become the Lord of my life. I receive you now. I thank you for dying in my place and for rising in my justification, for placing me in the family and in the household of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
This is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharon Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God.
Free dust, it has ransomed me, his grace.